Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, James.
We're recording now.
Okay, good.
Surprise. All right, now you have nothing to say.
Well, I think I'm done coughing up coconut chips, whatever we were eating. Thank you. It was a little rough. Those are good cookies.
They're a little bit too sweet, but it's Costco, so there you go.
Yeah, it's Costco.
It's got to be sweet.
Speaking of Costco.
Yes?
I told you my story.
So you think he was just trying to make trouble?
I don't know.
So this weird guy is just following you around Costco with a...
hunting knife.
Hunting knife?
He had a hunting knife strapped to his...
What the hell is wrong with people?
It was my first trip out.
And what kind of meat did he have in the cart?
I wasn't assessing the situation closely, but when I first approached the meat counter, I went, like, let's back up. I hadn't been out of the house since March 13th of 2020 for various and sundry reasons to go shopping. I mean, I was out of the house. I put gas. I mean, whatever. I just never went to a store because of a situation that happened at Sprouts on that day. And I got scared. Fast forward, my friend Susan took me to Costco. We went to the one up north where I always go to. And it was nice to see people that I'd seen, you know, for years. They still work there. They survived the scourge and et cetera, et cetera. So I was heading back to the meat counter. And there's this, like, skinny guy there with long, scraggly hair. And
it's always the skinny guys.
T-shirt and, you know, just looks like that sun-gnarled look that Arizona does so well over time. And so he's got, like, and I noticed the hunting knife and the no mask, you know, the masklessness of it all. And I'm a little freaked out, but I'm vaccinated and I had a mask on. And I thought, you know, F it all, I'm going in. And so I just wanted to get some meat for my dad. I don't really eat meat. And so I walk back to the beef area and this douche, like, just rolls his cart right in front of me and, like, rolls his eyes and, like, you know, shimmies up to the tri-tip. It's
tri-tip.
Ridiculous. I'm like, okay. And he keeps looking at me, and I'm like, dude, you know, go for it. I mean, and he's, like, loading up the cart, and there's already stuff in there. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, what is going on? Are we hoarding again? Like, last time I was here, they were hoarding. Someone couldn't kill a pig for 24 hours because, like, of the hack job on the meat plant, and so now everyone's hoarding. I mean, what's going on? They were hacked, too, like, a couple days ago or last week.
And, oh, who cares?
Yeah,
hacking's so old news.
Yeah,
that was last week.
So last week, but anyway, so I'm like, yeah, we couldn't chop up a cow or kill. You know, it's like, so now we got a hoard. So I just let him go. I grabbed what I needed and I walked around to the area of the chickens because I thought maybe I'll get some chicken. I don't know. And he did the same thing, and just, like, pushes his cart in front of me, and then says, "Hey, lady."
He says, "Hey, lady."
Yeah, he said, "Hey, what? Lady, am I in your way?" And I'm like, I didn't even say anything. I'm trying to ignore him. I'm, like, walking around. He's like, "I'm talking to you. Am I in your way?" And I said, "No." He said, "You have a weird look on your face. The part that I can see."
Yeah, you have the weird look
on
your
face. The part that I can see.
Oh, God, what a jackass.
Yeah, and I said, "Well, I'm a vegetarian, and looking at all this meat just disgusts me. I'm shopping for someone else. Mind your own business." I grabbed, like, two chickens and took off. For the quinoa section.
Save those chickens.
Eat more chicken, I guess. Anyway, that was my story. It's not very interesting, but I thought, God darn it. I just, you know, the first minute out and some friggin' idiot. It's like, did I need that? Did I need to be baptized in that fashion when I'm already freaked out about this stupid shit and, you know, I haven't been out of the house and I'm protecting everyone in my life. Some idiot has got to approach me in Costco because he thought it was funny and I was wearing a mask. And
this is the kind of person that should be on the street talking about Jesus. I mean, he wants to get in people's business and change their, you know, change the way they do things and just kind of bother them.
You look weird. The part of your face I can see. I'm like, fuck you.
There's a place for that, and it's on the street, and it's talking about Jesus.
Exactly. Thank you. Well, thanks for listening to that rant. So next time, you said we'll go to a different Costco.
I invite you to come to my Costco.
Okay.
With me. I'm not saying that they're going to be better people there, but I'll be there. And I don't mind talking to people. I got into it one day with a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me.
Well, it was nothing. We had a little confrontation, and then he apologized, and I apologized, and we were, like, both men and went about our business. How often does that happen? Like, people de-escalate.
It was during this whole COVID
thing?
Oh,
no, that was years ago.
Oh, okay.
He didn't like the way I was driving my cart.
Oh, your
That's
car?
That's only because he wasn't looking. It doesn't matter.
People are so weird.
It was a totally normal male interaction. Instead of being idiots about it, we just decided it wasn't that important and apologized and, you know, shook hands and moved on.
Oh, you shook hands. Okay. That's good. That's good. I just walked away from this guy. I'm just like, mind your own business, please.
I know you're non-confrontational, but that would have been the perfect time to pull out your pistol and say, look, man, you got a knife, I got a pistol. What do you want to talk about now?
you know, I was just kind of floored. And I didn't even tell Susan until we left. We were splitting up. And then she was, I think she thought.
Well, don't split up.
No, I mean, next time I want someone next to me. There were a lot of people there without masks on. And I was, you know, I was okay. I don't feel bulletproof by any means. I just thought I really have to put this aside and just do what I need to do. I'm doing the best I can. I've done the best I can. I'm tired of being scared.
Well, don't be.
I know.
Yeah, my Costco is most of the people, probably 80% of the people wearing masks still, including myself. But everyone who wasn't wearing a mask was white and mostly female.
Yeah, well, my Costco, it was probably, I would say maybe, you're probably on the nose with that, like 80%. And it was all white, males and females mixed, 50-50, I would say. And then the people who were wearing masks seemed very chatty. And we went during the early morning hours for like people.
For like people?
For like people who were older. It's like Susan's like, I can get in, let's go in.
Okay, yeah, no, my mother does that.
It was nice. And she's like, we're getting there, we're getting in, we're getting out. And I'm like, okay.
This is not an advertisement for Costco.
I know, no.
But I love Costco. One of the reasons I love it is because I don't care if they're crowded or not. It's not going to take that much longer because they're so good at just blasting through the lines. I can get a line with six people ahead of me and I'll still be through in like 5 minutes.
Right. They just blow through it. Well, so we got there and there were already people lined up. We were there early, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes early. And there were already people lined up, and they were hardcore. There were a couple scooters, you know, they were just hanging on the cart like my folks used to when we'd go in.
So I'm not trying to be sanctimonious about the mask thing, but the general rule for me is if the employees are wearing masks, I'm going to wear a mask.
Absolutely.
It's politeness. It's manners. If they have to wear 8 hours a day, I can wear it for 15 minutes.
Right. I mean, we were in and out in an hour, even with the little faux pas with the knife guy. But there were a lot of women, they'd just stop in the aisle. I think people are lonely. I don't usually have that much eye. I mean, I can be a friendly person, but I don't really have that much eye contact when I'm in crowds. It's that introversion.
Well, you better not stop in the aisle in front of me at Costco, because I will plow right through you.
I know. We'll have a cart thing.
I have a list of things. I know where everything is.
I know. I just want to get...
And I go.
Exactly. And so, but people were like, oh, do you know where this is? I mean, I haven't been... I haven't been in the store since... March of last year.
And unfortunately, they do move things. I hate when they move things, and I hate when they discontinue things that I love.
I didn't find several things.
Yeah, it's a drag, huh?
Yeah.
What did you miss?
I missed the organic pancake syrup, like the maple syrup.
They're out. I think there's a shortage of maple syrup. I was trying to get that this week, too.
Oh, no. Couldn't find it.
Yes, my wife was telling me something about, I think it was pandemic related. People started going crazy for maple syrup.
Nice.
So they started tapping their own trees, and then everybody wanted some. And so I think next time I have to get her some honey or something. They had plenty of honey.
I didn't even see the honey. I was looking for Oreos that I was buying online that were individually packaged.
Why are you doing that?
Because my dad likes them. And
individually packaged, though?
They're individually packaged. There's only six little cookies in the package.
Why not just get a big box?
No, because then I have a basket, and I put them in the basket.
Oh, I see.
And then they have little snacks, like there's fig bars and granola bars and
So this is
Oreos.
Like you're running a hotel for your parents.
I'm running a nursing home, dude. It's like
I don't know. It sounds more like a hotel.
But they have their little snack table.
I have to say, I haven't been to a hotel in a while, and you'd be surprised to learn that I'm actually kind of into cruises. I would never go on a cruise myself, but my mother has had me on cruises before, and it was really nice, and I kind of miss it.
Cruising?
Yeah.
I've never been on a
cruise ship. Normal people don't go on, well, I guess normal people do, but people like us, special people, don't go on cruises. And I wouldn't never have gone on a cruise if it hadn't been for my mother. And like I said, it's silly. It's really kind of a dumb way.
Well, tell me about the cruise. I want to hear about it.
It's just so relaxing because you get on the ship and it's a self-contained island that floats around and you have amazing food. I mean, you can go and get fresh fruit and vegetables and coffee and whatever you want all the time.
Nice.
It's just an overwhelming deluge of just wonderful food.
Nice.
Not that I'm primarily a food person, but it's just nice to have there. And then, you know, there's a jogging track and they have the fitness stuff and they have, you know, I guess spa stuff and pools and bars if you're into that kind of thing and fancy restaurants. But it was just very relaxing.
That sounds nice.
And you could just let the kids run, do whatever the hell they wanted. Free range. And I just don't like traveling that much. And especially
I don't
now, I feel even more insular than ever. But I saw a TikTok of someone, you know, going of actually a performer who performs on one of the ships.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this must have been one of the either it was a ship that I've been on at one point, or they all look the same, because I was like, oh yeah, I recognize all these mm-hmm. things. You know, the other nice thing is the cruises I've been have all been in the Caribbean. It's just beautiful weather. You just walk out on deck and it's just always nice. You open the sliding door and you go out on the balcony and really relaxing.
I would like that if there were no other people.
Well, just stay in your cabin.
See, that's the thing. It's like the claustrophobia would get to me. I would need a cabin that has like windows and some exit.
As I was saying, there's inside cabins and outside cabins. We had an outside cabin because we had a balcony. If you have a balcony, you're going to have an outside cabin.
Yeah, I'd need to have that option so I could see. I wouldn't be able to go underground or underwater.
This performer had an inside cabin, but even so, she seemed like it was a pretty nice gig, because she got up in the morning, she went and got her coffee, mm-hmm. and it's like a little mini city. You don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have to get on a bus anywhere. It just, you walk, get your coffee, then you walk and do your exercising, then you, you know, do your laundry. It's all right there. It's like it's kind of like Europe. It's all walkable.
Nice.
And then she went and set up her performance area, and then she did a couple of rehearsals and whatnot. And then, you know, she turned out for the night. It's like, I guess we could build cities like this if we wanted to, but we're too stupid.
It sounds like really fancy co-housing.
It's a whole city.
I would like that.
Yeah.
But then I worry about autocracy and getting the wrong people in charge, you know, and then all the whole thing just goes down the tubes.
Oh, as long as I'm in charge, I think everything will be fine.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I've never been on a cruise because I was worried about the claustrophobia. I was worried about like not feeling land under my feet.
Oh, it feels very solid.
It does.
You probably forget that you're even on a boat because it doesn't move at all.
Okay. Oh, really?
These things are huge. And okay. I mean, that's the silly part of it. I mean, they waste so much energy. It would be easier just to go to a hotel that had all this stuff built in.
Right.
That doesn't have to, you know, drive itself across from island to island.
Right.
They are amazing machines. And the whole system. Anyway, I don't want to get off on cruises.
Right. Well, I hope the cruise industry does well and they can start doing this again.
Well, I think they're started now.
Good.
They may be running into some problems in Florida, though, because the cruise lines want to only take on people that have been vaccinated.
Right.
So they want to say, hey, show us your vaccination card before you get on. And their governor over there is like, no, private businesses are not allowed to restrict them
mm-hmm.
To people who have vaccine cards. And I'm thinking, this is a Republican governor telling private business what they can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't seem like the Republicans of old. Republicans of old would have been like, you own the boat. It's your rules. You get to do what you want.
Right. I don't understand this whole push to do the opposite of, I don't know.
It's contrarian. I mean, that's basically the Republican stance now. It's being
right.
Contrarian. I used to be a registered Republican.
I was too.
That's nutballs.
For me?
For both of us. No,
I know, for both of us.
For me, it was just a question of, I had a fanciful idea mm-hmm. of the stoicism and what Republican was. Like, John McCain was my Republican.
Right.
And I, for some reason, I thought all Republicans were going to be like mm-hmm. that, and they weren't.
Completely agree.
And now they're completely not. I mean, they're basically 180
not.
Degrees.
No, I didn't always agree with John McCain, but I certainly had respect for him and still do to this day. And that voice, you know, being gone, the party is just not the same party. But no, it didn't take me long to switch my affiliation.
Well, you know what did it for me?
What?
I got deregistered.
Oh.
I don't remember if you remember this. In the 2016 election.
Yes.
There was a little scandal here in Maricopa County where thousands, they estimate maybe about 10,000 people got deregistered from their party.
Right.
So we were not able to vote in the primaries because uh-huh. you in here in Phoenix in Arizona, you can't vote in a primary
right.
unless you have a party affiliation.
Correct.
So magically, my registration just got moved, switched to unaffiliated. And I talked to a polling person mm-hmm. about it, a woman who works for the state. And she said, oh, James, you know, what probably happened is you probably went to the DMV at one time and you didn't realize when you're filling out the paperwork that you have to check which party you are. And otherwise, if you don't check it, even it'll supersede your previous whatever. She was saying, you know, basically I had done something and probably forgotten when I was doing some paperwork that I
so
forgot
it's your
to check.
Fault.
It. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I looked at her and says, I've actually never been to the DMV here.
Wow.
So there's no chance that I accidentally did anything at the DMV, because I've never been to the DMV. When we moved here, we instead of going to the DMV, there was this private place we could go instead, and it was like there was no line, which coming from New York was like, oh my God. What do you mean I don't have to wait an hour and a half online and then to be told that I'm in the wrong line to get into the other 3-hour line?
Right.
Is this a DMV? You guys are not doing your DMV right. Anyway, so I went to that private place, and that was in 2011, and this was in, 5 years later in 2016, and I hadn't been to any DMV or anything where I had any choice to mark or not mark my party affiliation, and she just kind of gave me a blank look. And it was one of those scandals, like I said, about 10,000 people got disenfranchised. And nobody really looked into it. And I think that may be why Reagan, our former Secretary of State, was not reelected. It's certainly why I didn't vote for her the second time.
Right. And now our Secretary of State is running for governor.
As Democrat, though, I can't imagine that she's going to win.
Yeah, this state's a hard...
It's like basically a non-starter for a Democrat.
In that role. It's not always been like that.
Well, I know. But I'm saying things have switched.
Yes. They switch back and forth. I don't know. I would keep hoping it was, purple, but I'm not sure anymore.
I think the heart of it is purple. It just depends on who's allowed to vote.
Yeah, I was concerned. I missed one election. I don't know which one. But, when I signed up for the permanent early voting list, I was always afraid that I wouldn't get my ballot.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting because for the latest election, the 2020 presidential, we did get the primary, everything came, and then remember the big holdup with the mail?
Right, yeah.
And my friends were, oh, you're just being paranoid. I did not get mail for like 7 consecutive work days, like business days, around the time of the election. And so I was driving down the street, and this guy waved me down, and no one talks to anyone in my neighborhood. It is not this neighborhood. I mean, no one talks. And I pulled up cautiously, and I opened my window, and he's like, I won't come close, but... have you gotten any mail lately? And I said, no, I thought it was just me. And he goes, it's going on like this is the second week and I'm waiting for my ballot. And I don't know what his party. I mean, it doesn't matter. At least he was going to vote. That's what mattered. And I said, I agree. And so I called up. They're like, oh, no, you have to report this and they shouldn't be holding mail. And blah. And I don't know. I had to make several calls. I can't remember how I got through to whatever. I finally talked to a person and the ballot came in the nick of time, but it was close.
That is surprising. Yeah, our
and
ballots
it was weird.
Came well within time. We had no problem with our ballots.
It was weird. And I don't know. And still to this day, I mean, I haven't gotten mail in that neighborhood. Like, you just don't see the mailman every day.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't come every day. So, not that I wait for mail. A lot of the stuff is done online. But
well, you didn't see him. That doesn't mean he wasn't there.
No, usually, like, it's just, there's a shadow.
No, I'm just saying he might be invisible.
I think he might be invisible, like the art.
I mean, if art can be invisible.
It can be. That was
certainly
a great...
the mailman. Do you remember his name? The guy, the artist, the Italian artist who's
no,
trying to sell.
No, what is his name?
Oh, I can look it up. Hang on.
Look it up. I sent you that article.
I already read it before you sent it to me. I'm so far ahead of you.
I know. I was just probably asleep at the wheel. Salvatore Garau. Garau? Yeah. I pulled up the article.
I already had it up. I forgot.
Yeah.
Salvatore Garau.
Garau.
Garau. Some Italian idiot.
I saw that and I thought, what the hell now?
I mean, do you see the picture of him? I'm looking at the picture of him right now.
Looking at the picture of him right now.
Okay, he looks like, he looks like a stuck-up prick. No problem there. Pretty normal. I mean, he's got a gray jacket with a white shirt, button-down shirt, no tie, which is fine. His watch prominently displayed. Like, yes. I have a fancy, expensive watch, and
yes.
I have gray pants with a gray belt and a white shirt because I guess I hate color because life is horrible and terrible, and I don't even want to see anything, so I make artwork that you can't see.
And he's standing in front of a white painting.
No more white paintings, okay?
He's standing in front of a white painting.
I don't care. We're not talking about white paintings anymore.
But it's this continuum.
Because this is bad for you.
This is a continuum. And the bottom of the picture is matching his pants.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, come on, guy. Get some life.
Well, I don't know how I felt about this. I was...
Let's back up a second. Because I don't think our listeners have any idea what we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, go for it. Fill them in.
It turns out this guy's been working for years selling invisible art. And his last piece sold for $18,000. And this is not a new thing. This is like in the 50s, there was a guy trying to sell stuff. Invisible stuff. And they had a retrospect a few years ago, like invisible art from 1950 to 2020 or something like that. I don't remember exact dates. And then maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I wanted to say this was an Onion piece, but I couldn't find it. The Onion, which is a...
I'm familiar.
onion.com.
Correct.
It wasn't an onion piece, but it might as well have been, mm-hmm. about a young woman artist who was selling invisible artwork, I think in New York. And the kicker was someone stole one of her pieces. Turns out it was just a couple of radio hosts that had done it. But everyone picked it up. In fact, I saw the story because a friend of mine posted it on Facebook, like an artist. And he's like, can you believe this is happening? And I forgave him for it because English is his second language. So it didn't surprise me that, you know, it was understandable that something was lost in translation since it's he was reading.
Oh, he thought they actually took the piece?
Yeah, no, he thought it was a real article.
Oh, my God.
So, Rodrigo, don't worry about it. This is fake. It sounded real. That was kind of the core of it. It's like, it sounded real at the time. It's like, I could totally understand why you thought this was real because this really sounds like something that could happen in the art world today. Well, guess what? It is happening.
It is happening.
For reals. I don't understand.
I mean,
I do understand, actually.
So fill me in, because I was like, okay, we got through the white paintings. I created a white painting.
I got through the white paintings. I don't know if you did. Are you still painting?
I painted a gourd. I decided to go more 3D. And so I found this gourd. Yeah, I'm cleaning out my studio.
You are going down a dangerous path here.
I'm cleaning out my studio. I'm finding all kinds of weird stuff.
Have you found the mannequins?
I did not find
that
the mannequins.
That is still pretty creepy.
That is way creepy.
You need to get some of those Apple AirTags and put them on your stuff so if they walk away, you can find it where they've gone to.
Yeah, so I don't know, six down. I keep hoping as I uncover piles. I found the leg.
Oh, God.
I found a leg. I found some arms. I found a couple heads and another torso, but I can't find the shirt. I don't know. So I found a gourd, and I decided to paint it white. That's what I'm currently working on.
Oh my God.
So I'm in the zone, but this is on the, is this on the continuum?
Yes.
Of, is this stupid? Is this like, it's not even avant-garde. It's just like, and these people are making money, and you paint and you do beautiful work.
What do they have that we don't have?
This bad suit.
Ego.
And an attitude.
The suit's not bad. It's just, it's boring. You would expect more from an artist.
Right.
I mean, Andy Warhol had better sense of fashion than this guy does.
He did. I'll give him that.
He had wigs and he had black turtlenecks.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a little guy, you know, you stand out.
Right. I didn't notice the white painting until now.
This guy looks like a business jerk. This is an artist?
It begs the question. It's like, what is the art? Is it really the invisible art existing in that space energetically for all time? Or is it the fact that, you know, is it performance art? Like,
you know what
do
it is?
Whatever I do.
It requires more work from the viewer. That's all.
That's what they said.
That is a bunch of horseshit. If anyone ever says that to you, that is code for you're getting scammed right now.
Well, who said that? It was that curator from the Whitney. That was one of the quotes.
That was your thing. I don't know.
Right. Well, I sent you. Yeah, she said it requires more work from the viewer. Well,
I didn't read what you sent me. You expect me to read?
I expected
you to read
that.
This is 2021. Who's going to read?
Well, and then her interview ends and she looks at the camera and says, you know, everyone, you know, through the course of my curator time has walked through certain exhibits of minimalism and said, I could have done that. I could do that. And she looks right at the camera and says, you could have done that, but you didn't.
And they think they're so clever for saying nonsense like that. That's basically just nothing. That's flatulence. She's flatulating at the camera.
I know. Well, I embroidered that on a sugar skull.
Okay.
I did. And it made me feel so much better. Okay. I just had to get it out there. It looks like a scar across a sugar skull embroidery. And it says, you could have done this, but you didn't.
So my question, I'm going to restate my question. What do they have that we don't?
They have some serious ego. They have a sense of entitlement. They have probably a higher level of sarcasm to some extent.
You don't think it's sarcastic? No, it's not. Well, it's sarcasm and sociopathy. You have to be a sociopath to do this to people. On the other hand, at my darker moments when I get really mad at humanity, I feel like I could pull this stuff off, where I could con people into.
I want to pull this stuff off.
There was a point at which I got really annoyed with humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a background in industrial design. Mm-hmm. I've designed furniture professionally, not just like in the backyard. And so I had this idea of, oh, and you know, feng shui, which is, you know, nonsense.
Exactly.
So I was thinking I could combine the two of them and say, I've been to Asia. I've been to Hong Kong. It had nothing to do with feng shui, but it's like, with my roots in Hong Kong and my background in, you know, Western furniture design, I meld the two together to give you the perfect experience of how to design your environment to best suit your needs.
Mm-hmm. It's a synergy.
I got over it, and then I was like, oh, I can't really say that to people. That's the thing. You can make up these ideas in your head, but the question is, are you a evil enough person to actually say them to someone?
Well, I sent you some pictures of my invisible art. And I want to know how much work you did, if you even looked at them.
You mean, are you talking the NFTs or the invisible art?
Well, the invisible art that I thought, if you took a picture of it, could you create an NFT and sell nothing for nothing?
The point wouldn't be to sell nothing for nothing. You want to sell nothing for something.
Right.
I.e. money.
Right. I don't deal in the Bitcoin. I don't even understand it. So to me, it feels wacky. And I thought, what if this is just, if we're going full circle here.
Well, it'd be wonderful if we could. But the problem is, in order to sell an NFT, which is a non-fungible token.
Right.
Which is just another way of saying a Bitcoin.
Right.
You have to have a network of people to sell to. You have to have, you already have to be a schmuck who's created a following. And this is what, so these guys have ego. They're sociopaths. And they're very good at marketing whatever they want to market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this guy actually looks a lot like Jeff Koons. He just looks like a slightly darker, more Italian version of Jeff Koons. Because Jeff Koons runs around in suits too. He's mm-hmm. trying to pretend like he's a businessman doing art or I don't know, whatever he's trying to do. He's successful at it though, monetarily speaking.
It blew me away, and I had to share it with you, even though you'd seen it before me.
Well, I want to one-up you.
And it's just like the white paintings weren't enough, and then now it's just, there was a picture of Buddha, the virtual
right,
Buddha.
Right, yeah, he did, that's another
one
that he did. And
it's just the tape around, and that was like the inspiration for my piece.
So he taped an area around on the floor and said, there's a Buddha here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to revere it and feel its presence.
Yeah, that exists in time and space for eternity.
And he sold that for something like $10,000. I don't know.
It's still
much.
There, right?
Is it?
Well, the
maybe it was stolen.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
We should steal one of these pieces.
We need to go buy it and see if
no.
I mean, just not buy it.
Steal
buy it.
It.
Go walk
steal it.
Past it.
We need to steal it, or we could deface it.
Oh, how would you?
Or, obviously.
Oh, it'd be so fun to deface it like you just get like a little fishing line and just hang like a little mustache
no,
in the
no,
air.
No. You're thinking too small. Come on. Okay. Come on. Think about it. What's the obvious way to deface this thing? Banana
and
duct tape. So we're going to duct tape an invisible banana to the Buddha.
That would be classic.
I'll put the banana on and then you come in and you eat it.
And then it's performance art.
I was just trying to think of what's the next level of this. The next level is just what I described. See, we can do this. We have the ideas that these people have. We just, like I said, we're just not sociopaths, so we can't take advantage of human beings like that.
We should do that at, like, the next First Friday.
Maybe we could amp each other up, like, really beat each other down so that we're just really miserable and feel like it's time to take our revenge on humanity. And that way we can get to the point where these people are, where we just don't care. We want people to pay.
Well, I think it'd be fantastic to do, like, a piece like that because it'd be the whole work. It's almost like what I talked about in like our Zero podcast about the teddy bear. I don't know if that made it into the cut. It's hard for me to listen
everything
to my own voice.
Gets into the cut. Nothing gets cut.
Okay. But anyway, it's like we could do before. You could go there and we could just wear all white in homage to the white paintings, tape out duct tape on the pavement in front of some studio on Roosevelt, place the piece there, and then do a process of defacing it throughout the course of the evening. You could just pretend, like, just do this mime work and, like, catching the banana.
I can't think of a better way to waste more time.
And just have, like, a little guitar case, an empty guitar case out for tips. See what happens.
It's got to be more meta than that. But I'm thinking, I had a stroke of genius
okay.
while you were talking.
Okay.
We need to go back to your Costco and hang around until that guy shows up again.
Oh my God.
Then we bring him down to Roosevelt Row, and he's our piece. We have him just walking around Roosevelt Row with a cart full of meat, looking at people and asking why they have masks on. Am I in your way?
Am I in your way?
That's the title of the piece.
Am I in your way? Your way? I love
hey,
it.
Hey, man, am I in your way, man? How about now?
I love it. That's beautiful.
Genius.
James. I've done some work here on that, and I'm feeling it. Tingles.
God, this sounds like we're really being negative right now.
No, we're not.
Can we add something to the world instead of taking it away?
I wanted to add the only piece
that
I like.
What do you love? Tell me something that you love.
Something that
I love. Wait, no. Let's finish up. What do you got?
What do I got?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay. I mean,
very confrontational.
I got nothing. When I saw that, and I thought, oh my God, it's like, and I had to get it out of me. I thought, this is moving me. And so I got that Sharpie and a green marker, and I thought, I'm going to make a book. I mean, I've been writing a book. My book is trapped in my iMac. I'll bring it here energetically. And I just laid out some writing instruments, very, you know, 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a picture, and I thought, there, it exists.
Right,
it's
right.
Still on the floor of the studio. My father walked in. He's like, what the hell is this shit? What the hell are you doing?
And it's then art, I thought, Dad. It's art.
Then I saw the Coke cans that I purchased at Costco, And I thought, I'm going to make a little place for statue of Andy Warhol. Out of Coke cans.
I did that when I was in college. I made a throne for Andy Warhol.
It was just a throne.
Out of Coke cans.
Right. So you've beat me to that.
You know, the funny thing, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is 20 years ago. I'm sure people do it all the time. Literally every year someone's doing it. And I was trying to explain to my teacher why I did it, and she didn't understand what I was saying. I was trying to take the piss out of pop art.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, well, that's pop art's already doing that. No. Pop art was trying to do that, but I'm saying it's, you know, the emperor has no clothes.
Exactly.
Yeah, she didn't get it.
But so I like the photo of the square of my writing instruments. I really actually do like that photo. So, and I thought, that's my book, and it motivates me.
If you had an Instagram account, you could share that with people.
I was thinking about it. You know, I text my friend Susan and I in Tucson. I have two friends, one up here, one in Tucson, and they're both equally cuckoo, and we have a great time. But Susan and because I can't see her all the time, and we text just back and forth all night.
Yeah, I can't be part of that club.
It's hilarious. And some
no,
of the
I understand that, but when you were texting me, it was a little bit much.
No, I'm sorry.
Because for me, I guess I'm just not a hip kid. Texting for me is like almost in place of a phone call.
Yes.
So if you're calling me like six times in 15 minutes, mm-hmm. that's not normal.
Right.
But that's because the way I see it. And because you're on my contacts list, I can't mute it. So
right.
I get all the notifications.
And I knew it was going to happen. That's why I said, before you block me, I got to get one more thing. Because it's my stream of consciousness.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I turned off my phone.
Oh, you did? Because my mind just goes and I had to get it out and it comes and spits
then
and
just
spurts.
Email me.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't really do email. And I used to think that texting was like the lowest form of communication. I still believe that to a great extent. I think it's a low form of communication.
No, I think clearly what we've proven today is that art is the lowest form of communication.
Art, it can
High
be.
Art is the lowest form of communication.
Oh, I like that. We should make, see, we need merchandise.
There you go. Oh my gosh, that would be a good t-shirt. To walk around with that next First Friday. Of course, the next First Friday is going to be pretty hot.
Yeah.
No,
They do it during the summer. I just never go during the summer.
Got to save it up for the right time.
We have to save it. We shouldn't even talk about it.
That can be our first merch.
I know. I just got like my ass twitched a bit when you said merch. Sorry.
Okay. Keep your ass twitching to yourself, please.
Just like it was not literal.
If it wasn't literal, I don't know why you're talking about it.
I don't know either.
All right, so I was trying to take this in a slightly different direction earlier.
Please.
Because like I said, I feel like we're just dumping all over art and whatnot and being kind of negative. So let's talk about, tell me something that you love. What do you love in the world?
What do I love?
And not people, because they're dull.
It's hard to think about that right now.
Wait, what do you turn to when you want to just do something that you enjoy?
The default right now has been, and you know, the Korean dramas.
Okay.
But we don't have to go there.
No, just tell me.
I was trying to learn Korean for a while, and then I started watching Korean dramas a while ago. But I got really hooked last summer on this Korean drama called It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And I think it just kind of uncovered these raw emotions, and I think the storyline, it was just very poignant. And I cried so hard, and I thought, this is so cathartic, because I needed to cry. Because I was so pent up and so in control and so trying to keep my house together and people safe and blah, blah, blah. And so I just got really addicted to them. And just
describe, just if you can give a brief overview, what is the show like?
It's Okay to Not Be Okay.
Yeah.
It was about two siblings who were abandoned because their mother was murdered. And the older sibling is on the spectrum of autism. And the younger sibling becomes the caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I identified a lot with the caretaker.
Yeah.
And so you kind of see in flashbacks like their story. And then the caretaker, he works in psychiatric hospitals. And there's all these characters.
Oh, jeez. This sounds like it's a pretty deeply layered thing.
Really deeply layered.
Is this
a soap
opera?
And then he falls in. It's kind of. I think they're all kind of soap opera-ish. Okay. Then he falls in love with this children's book writer who has a high degree of sociopathy.
Okay,
and they have
enough.
A history.
This is like a foreign soap opera.
Yeah,
layers and,
then,
and just a crazy
then,
number of
yeah,
subplots going on.
And then it's this process of these flawed people, like this abandoned caretaker person and his older brother who should be taking care of him. I don't know. And then this woman who was flawed and abandoned emotionally and all this, and how they come together and out of their depths of whatever, these holes. Like heal. It sounds like morbid. It sounds like not fascinating. It was one of the most beautiful visual pieces that I'd seen. The fashion was amazing.
Does it complete or is it an ongoing series?
It completes. Oh, okay. It was like 20 episodes or something. I sat there and I was sobbing. And I thought, man, this is cathartic. And then we were supposed to go to Seoul like last year and obviously never got
to
the airport.
That was really bad timing.
Really bad timing. I don't know.
That's fine. So that's something you love.
Yeah.
What was the name of it again?
It's Okay to Not Be Okay.
It's Okay to Not Be Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix anymore. Oh. I dumped them. I wasn't going to watch it anyway. Is it dubbed or
no,
subtitled?
I watch it. No, it's not dubbed. And I find that I prefer to listen to it in Korean because I'm trying to learn the language.
Yeah, I get that, but I can't do that.
And also the acting isn't out of sync.
Yeah, I understand that, but I can't watch something with subtitles.
Right, and a lot of people can't.
And I don't know Korean, surprisingly enough.
Yeah. Well, evidently I don't either. Drop me anywhere in South Korea, and I could live there for the next 25 years and probably never understand a word.
Well, it's a difficult language to pick up, especially at our age.
Exactly. And everything's backwards. It's hard. And, you know,
Everything's backwards. So that
seems it
seems
backwards, like the subject, object, verb, and it's all different.
Maybe we're the ones who are backwards.
I think we might be. But it flows, and I understand our language. And I think Korean sounds really cool, but I don't think I'll ever be fluent.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I love.
Okay, what do you love?
TikTok.
You said that. Tell me about TikTok.
I say it over and over again because I'm so infatuated by this thing. Love it.
Well, fill me in because I had it downloaded, I watched it, and then I took it off my phone.
That makes total sense because it's a stupid social network that shows you stupid things until you train it. The two things that I think that make it amazing, it's a short form video. So
yes.
Most people get 1 minute videos. So they're incredibly short. And anybody who's any good at making the videos is just truly amazing at getting out their point in 60 seconds. That doesn't seem like a hard thing, but try to do it yourself. Try to sit down and come up with a story that you can tell in 60 seconds. I will bet 10 minutes later, you're still trying to figure, you still haven't finished.
Right.
The other thing is the algorithm actually works. And what I mean by that is Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Google all have these algorithms trying to figure out what you want to see next. Mm. And they're all crap, really, or at least for me. But TikTok, I spent about an hour training it what I wanted to see and what I didn't want to see. And suddenly it stopped showing me stupid people doing stupid dances stupidly and started showing me astrophysicists and a guy who runs a well business, you know, doing wells and septic systems and just all kinds of more interesting stuff. Historians, archaeologists, Carl Sagan is all over there. Of course, he's dead now, but
I was going to say, that's amazing.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I have to say is pretty good at these videos, but for a long time, he had his volume too low. Thank you for finally turning your volume up. Oh, and then, so those are the people that I follow, so I get to see their stuff all the time. So you can follow stuff, but then I go to the feed, where it's just trying to figure out what I want to see next, and it knows me, so it just shows me cat videos.
I think I got stuck on the feed, and I don't know how I was actually logged into it. It's a feed where it just streams like there's just the next video and a next video.
You just swipe through the next one, yeah.
Right, and I just couldn't ever get out of there to see what I want. You know,
that's all there is. There are two ways to look at it. There's the feed, which is just slamming stuff at you,
right,
that it thinks you want, and then there's the quote to follow. So you can look at the things that you're quote following, people that you can follow, and their contents only, or the feed, which is just the whole world. Occasionally, it kind of pokes me and says, "Are you sure you don't want to see cute girls dancing?" Signal, thank you, but it doesn't do it too often. Like Twitter, on the other hand, is driving me absolutely insane right now.
Okay.
Because it's desperately trying to get me to follow topics. And I'm desperately trying to tell it, stop showing me topics. But it's not remotely good about trying to figure out what topics I want to see. I don't want to see anything about Hollywood, all right? Stop showing me that nonsense. Sports, I could care less. NBA, no.
Right.
It's just randomly throwing topics at me. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I probably should re-engage with social media. That was one of our topics.
I think that, we'll talk about it next time more.
Uh-huh,
I think you have a gift for writing, so you should be on Twitter or someplace where you can start to share more of your stories.
I was on Twitter, and then I got freaked out.
Let's save that for next time, though.
Yeah.
I think we've talked enough.
We've talked enough.
We've come up with enough ideas.
We have, and I think we need to flesh out the performance piece. I really think that would be actually kind of flippin' hysterical.
Well, to do it properly, in the real spirit of modern fine art, high art, we wouldn't do it ourselves. We would have interns do it for us. because then we really show that we're here. We have arrived. We're too important to do the art ourselves.
Right. Except what was that performance artist who stood there in New York?
The naked woman?
Yeah.
I don't remember. She never made an impression on me.
Okay.
So why the hell would
She did it herself. But yeah, I think it'd be, I just think that'd be fun.
Standing there naked?
No, not standing there naked. Standing there with, you know, just doing the installation.
Well, I did that once when I was in college, thank you. This was in college when I was doing stupid crap.
But our invisible art.
I don't remember what the point of it was or why I did this. I did some plaster of Paris casts of my face.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this white face mask on, and I was completely covered in white. And I sat out in one of the public squares in Providence, Rhode Island for like an hour. The best part was an old woman came up to me and said, "Knock, knock, anyone in there?" And then just walked away. It's like, that was the best part of the piece. The piece.
Yes. And again, we could auction it off.
I should NFT that.
Yeah, we should auction it off.
Maybe next week we'll figure out how to do an NFT.
We'll figure it out. I'm going to think about this because I think it's amazing. We have to find some interns.
Craigslist.
Costco.
All right, Catherine, thank you for coming over.
It's a pleasure, James.
See you next week.
See you. Bye.